Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hello, champion. What is up? A tremendous Monday to you. It's Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. Hey, I want to share with you. I want to reset this. I just felt led to share this story after just an amazing, miraculous birthday weekend with my youngest daughter, Susan, who turned 5, given no chance to live a few years ago. And wow, just soaking up all the glory and all the miracle. There's a story, my favorite inspirational story of all time, hands down. There's not even a close second. Is a story that I shared on my podcast a few years ago called The Chicken Runs at Midnight. And if you've already heard this, I'll give a little bit of a different twist this time to it as well. If it's your first time hearing The Chicken Runs at Midnight, listen, if you're in the car, you're on the treadmill, walking the dog, or doing some laundry or, you know, lawn work, like I did all weekend, by the way, just listen. It's a really inspirational story. It has to do with a guy named Rich Donnelly. And Rich was bopped around professional baseball most of his life. And I think he was born maybe in the 40s or so. He's probably in his 70s by now. But he had two sons, I believe. And again, I'm going off of memory, but it's an amazing story. So if I get a couple of the details wrong, but I think he had two sons and he had a daughter, Amy. And the story focuses around his daughter, Amy. Let me see. He had a son, Bubba, Mike, and Tim, and then Amy. So he had 4 kids, okay? So he spent a couple years in the major leagues in baseball, but he really, through infidelity and all this stuff, he did basically what big leaguers did. He drank, he smoked, he ran around at night, and cost himself a marriage. And his daughter, Amy, she didn't talk to him for 6 months. And it was really Rich's second wife, Roberta, who started to get him back on track. And then Amy came around to forgive him. And then came the phone call that changed his life. In 1992, Rich was a third base coach with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he got a call from Amy, his daughter. It said, "Dad, I have something to tell you. I have a brain tumor, and I'm sorry." And Rich recalled that when she said that she was sorry, it really grabbed him because she was apologizing to her dad for having a brain tumor. And so Amy's brain surgery took place a few days later, but the surgeons couldn't get all of the tumor, and they basically gave Amy about 9 months to live. And it was a devastating shock, and Rich felt like that was really God's way of punishing him for going astray with his life. And, you know, it's not right. God doesn't punish us. He's not a punishing God, but that's the way we think when bad things happen to us, you know. But Amy kept this really bright and vibrant personality all throughout her life. And the next 9 months especially, she packed more joy into a single day because she knew that her time was running out. Think about that. I mean, just think about that. If you knew you only had 9 months to live or 6 months to live, you'd be the same way, most likely, trying to just experience. You sure as hell wouldn't be staring at a 7-inch screen on your phone, texting and getting caught up in arguments about politics on social media. Am I right? And look, guilty as charged. I got both hands in the air, man. I'm not sitting here in judgment of you. I'd do the same thing. I certainly wouldn't be stressing over a lot of the things I stress over now. But then the sentence that would change the Donnelly's lives came after Amy and her brothers and her best friend Cindy were driving home with Rich after a playoff game against the Braves. And Amy said to her father, "Hey, Dad, when you get down in that crouch with a man on second, what are you telling those guys? The chicken runs at midnight or something?" And everyone in the car just cracked up laughing, and no one even knew where it came from. It just blurted out. And then from that point on, the chicken runs at midnight became kind of the family's motto. And then when Amy passed away several months later, that was the epitaph that they etched on her tombstone. So fast forward, okay, 4 years later, Rich was the third base coach for the Florida Marlins, and his sons Mike and Tim were the bat boys on the team at that time. And the kids noticed that a new player, Craig Counsell, had a strange batting stance. He used to flap his left arm like a chicken. So secretly, they started calling him a chicken. And I remember watching that World Series that year in 97 with the Indians and the Marlins. And the Marlins were damn near an expansion team. I think they were only 3 or 4 years old at the time. And I remember looking at that Craig Council, and I think they were calling him the chicken on TV. So that nickname had actually made its way onto the network who was calling the game. But anyway, the Marlins made it to Game 7 of that year. It was a phenomenal World Series. And it was the 11th inning of a tie game, and Council was on third base hoping to score the winning run. And Rich Donnelly was right next to him because he was the third base coach at the time. And the Marlins got a base hit. Council scored. You know, Edgar Renteria, if you guys are baseball fans, hit that one up the middle. And Council scored. And the was it Edgar Renteria again? It doesn't even matter. I don't want to get off the topic. Council scores from third base, and the Marlins win the World Series. The team goes nuts. Rich even recalled, I mean, there was policemen on horseback all around the stadium. Rich grabs a horse and kisses it. And then Rich sees his son Tim screaming, crying, and he's pointing at the stadium clock. And Rich turned around to see the time, and it was midnight. And Rich said, Craig Council, the chicken, scored the winning run at midnight. Meaning, Amy's phrase out of nowhere in that drive home in the car one night. The chicken runs at midnight. Craig Council, the chicken, was running at midnight. Does that not give you goosebumps? I mean, my God, does that not make you believe in a higher power that there's so much more to this life, that God's got his hand all over us, man. Even when we lose, the toughest times in our lives, he's always there. There's so much more to focus on in life, so much more going on in life than what we want to make the purpose and all of this, you know, significant stuff and the bank accounts and the websites and who's liking our photos and all of that stuff, you know? That is an amazing story. Amy was there that night. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'll tell you what, man, I believe in miracles. I believe just by witnessing the miracle of life makes me believe in miracles. But when I hear stories like that, I'm all in, man. I look for miracles now. You know how people go out like storm chasing or looking for Bigfoot and things? I go out looking for miracles, man. I mean, that's what I do. I go out looking for miracles. And you don't got to look far. I mean, just look at nature. Everything, how it works perfectly in harmony, is a miracle. Everything, how our body, how our heart beats a billion times in a day and never stops. I mean, think about if you had to actually think about beating. You know, hey, should I beat for a minute? You're dead. You know, everything's a miracle, yet we want to make everything so bad because, well, I got too many bills. I get it, man. It's stressful. But how much stress do we place on ourselves? And how much focus do we place on negative stuff that causes us to have a bad day? I mean, was it really a bad day? Or was it a bad 10 minutes that you purposely turned into a bad 24 hours because you didn't want to get out of that? I know I got both hands in the air, man. I only preach this stuff because I've been through it. I'll take 5 minutes of somebody cutting me off in traffic or somebody saying the wrong thing to me or blowing me up, put me on blast mode maybe on social media, and I'll turn that into a bad 8 hours, 10 hours. Hell, I might do it the whole day, especially when I had a job because I was always stressed out. Remember, where focus goes, energy flows. Okay, so if you're going to focus on everything that's going bad and woe is me and look at this and I can't get by, then that's where your energy is going to go, and it's going to go right down the crapper. Amy had 9 months to live, packed more joy in one day than most people pack in an entire lifetime. Why? Because she almost knew. She didn't know the day or the hour, but she was pretty close. She knew how much time she had, and if we really knew the day or the hour that our life was going to end, do you really think that we would be obsessing over things that are on the internet? I mean, I posted a meme on my Facebook story, my Instagram story last week that was equivalent to something like, you know, getting upset about something you see on the internet is the equivalent of walking past a pile of dog crap and choosing to step in it versus walking around it. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting all obsessed about stuff that we're majoring in minor things that don't even matter. The chicken runs at midnight. I believe there's now a book you can buy on Amazon or anywhere you buy books. I think it's titled The Chicken Runs at Midnight. That story, when I shared that a few years ago, was one of the most downloaded podcasts since I've been recording shows in 15 years because it carries that much power to the punch to it. It really does. And I want you to just think about this today. All right. Think about, are you obsessing over success positive stuff, the impact that you can make, the value that you can add? Or are you obsessing over your past, the mistakes you made, all the bad choices, everybody that did you wrong, maybe the stuff you're looking at coming up that's not too pleasant, you know? But remember, where you put that focus is where your energy is going to go, and that energy is going to then attract everything into your life. So if you continue to obsess over the bad stuff, the stuff you mainly can't control, the worry, the fear, the doubt, all of that, the anxiety, if you obsess over that, you're going to bring more of that into your life. How do I know? How do I know? Sam, how are you such an expert at screwing up? Because I've done it. I've done it. I've tried to sabotage all the success my entire life, man. And just recently, I mean recently, probably since I left the job 15 years ago, and more recently in the last 5 years since Susan was born, and we celebrated her fifth birthday Saturday, August 17th. I mean, this little girl was born with absolutely little hope for a normal life. She's not, I mean, she's perfect. She's a miracle. When I say she's not there yet perfect, I mean, she can't really talk that well yet. She has, she's got some issues, speech issues. She's got some, eating issues and things like that. She's got some, trying to get by in daily life issues. But holy hell, are you telling me I'm going to obsess over all that negative stuff? Or am I going to stand on my faith knowing that this kid was born about the size of my cell phone and is now 33 pounds and a vibrant... You want to see a kid that has a permigrin and never stops smiling? Check out my daughter, Susan. You can see our One More Breath page that my wife runs on Facebook, inspiring other families that have children born under certain similar circumstances. Or you can check out my personal Facebook page, Sam Crowley. It's all open for you. I use that to inspire you to pack the power of positivity into your day and not obsess over the negative stuff. I get it, man. Life's tough. I'm not saying I'm jolly. I'm not saying I'm the jolly rancher out there, smiling all day, 24 hours a day. But damn it, when I catch myself focusing on negative stuff, I stop. I just stop. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. Life's way too short to be that person. So anyway, I hope The Chicken Runs at Midnight inspired you to just take a deep breath and say, is my life really that bad? I mean, is this really stuff that I can get myself out of? Have I been given a death sentence? Because I don't know, man. Unless you've been given 9 months to live, you got it pretty damn good. I understand we all got financial issues. We all got relationship issues. People are hurting, man. I'm not minimizing that at all. But you're in the valley. You're passing through. You're in the valley. You're passing through. And remember, whenever, from now on, whenever you get down in the dumps and feeling sorry for yourself and wondering if anybody is out there watching and, does God really care about me? And the chicken runs at midnight. Just say that to you. The chicken runs at midnight. And that should, because I know what does it for me snaps me right out of it. All right. I'm jacked up, baby. It's a new week. It's Monday. It's a fun day. Every day that ends in Y is your day. All right. Let's get after it in a big way. Have the best day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.